ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 24, which is called Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, text number 54. Bhavan Bhakti Mata Bhavya Dulabha Sarvadeinam Rajasya Abhimata Vikantena Atmavit Gati Bhavan Bhakti Mata Labhyo Dualabha Sarvadehinam Svarajasya Pyabhimata Vikati Bhavan Bhakti Mata Labhyo Durlabha Sarvadeinam Svarajasya Pyabhita Bhimata Ekantinatma Vikati Bhavan Bhakti Mata Labhyo Dulabha Sarvadeinam Svarajasya Pyabhimata Ekantinatma Vikati.
Very difficult to be obtained.
Sarvateinam, of all other living entities. Svarajasya, of the King of Heaven. Api, even. Abhimata, the ultimate goal. Ikantena, by oneness. Atmavid, of the self-realized. Gati, the ultimate destination. So I'm going to read the translation and purport by Swami Krishna Prabhupada. My dear Lord, the king in charge of the heavenly kingdom is also desirous of obtaining the ultimate goal of life, devotional service. Similarly, you are the ultimate destination of those who identify themselves with you, Aham Brahmasmi. However, it is very difficult for them to attain you, whereas a devotee can very easily attain your lordship. Purport. As stated in the Brahma Sanghita, Videshu Duralabham Adhuralabham Atma Bhaktau, this indicates that it is very difficult for one to obtain the ultimate goal of life and reach the supreme destination. Vaikuntha Loka or Goloka Vrindavan, simply by studying Vedanta philosophy or Vedic reach the supreme destination, Vaikuntha Loka or Goloka Vrindavan, simply by studying Vedanta philosophy or Vedic literature. However, the highest professional stage can be attained by devotees very easily. That is the meaning of Videshu Duralabham Adhuralabham Atma Bhaktau. The same point is confirmed by Lord Shiva in this verse. The Lord is very difficult for the Karma Yogis, Jnana Yogis, and Jhana Yogis to attain. Those who are Bhakti Yogis, however, have no difficulty at all. In the words Svarajasya, Svar refers to Svargaloka, the heavenly planet, and Svarajya refers to the ruler of the heavenly planet, Indra. Generally, karmis desire elevation to heavenly planets, but King Indra desires to become perfect in Bhakti Yoga. Those who identify themselves as Aham Brahmasmi, I am the Supreme Brahman, one with the Absolute Truth, also ultimately desire to attain perfect liberation in the Vaikuntha planets of Goloka Vrindavan. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Bhakchamam abhijanati yavanyascha smitatvataha utomamam tatvato gyatvam vishyate tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, if one desires to enter into the spiritual world, he must try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Simply by practicing Bhakti Yoga, one can understand the Supreme Lord in truth. But without such understanding, one cannot enter the spiritual kingdom. One may be elevated to the heavenly planets, or may realize himself as Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi, but that is not the end of realization. One must realize the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Bhakti Yoga. Then the real perfection of life is attained. So I'll just read the verse again. Bhavan bhakti matala abhyo dualabha sarvadeinam svaraja syakta abhimata ekantin atma vidkati. My dear Lord, the king in charge of the heavenly planet, of the heavenly kingdom, is also desirous of obtaining the ultimate goal of life, devotional service. Similarly, you are the ultimate destination of those who identify themselves with you, Aham Brahmasmi. However, it is very difficult for them to attain you. whereas the devotee can very easily attain your lordship. Om Akyanati Marandasya Akyananjana Salakaya Chaksunitam Yinatasmai Sri Kuravinama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it is noteworthy here that in the world's other religions, they all want to go to heaven. They think it's, they even think that's the ultimate destination. But here we see that the king of heaven, Indra, he wants to go, he wants to be a devotee. He wants to go to Krishna. You might ask, well, if he wants to go to Krishna, what's he doing in heaven? What's he doing as the king of heaven? But somebody has to take care of heaven. There has to be an administrator and a king. So Indra has taken that position. The demigods are all devotees of the Lord. They may not be pure, unalloyed devotees, but they are definitely devotees. And as Prabhupada explains in this purport here, that devotional service is the only means by which to attain the ultimate success in life. Prabhupada writes in a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam that all difficulties arise because we don't have a goal in life. And he qualifies that because you could say, well, people have goals in life. Their goals in life are to maintain their family, to my goal of life sometimes is just to get up in the morning. And people have so many goals in life and still they have difficulties. Prabhupada, he qualifies that by saying ultimate goal. That those who don't have an ultimate goal in life, there will always be difficulties. Now someone may say, well, my ultimate goal in life is to take care of my family and provide very nicely and do all the stuff I'm supposed to do. That is, after all, a noble endeavor considered by most people. But seen from a spiritual point of view, I'm taking care of my family, I'm going to my job, I'm earning money, I'm raising my children, putting them through school, all these things. From a spiritual point of view, that means from the point of view of eternality, this is no more important than what the end is doing out in the Lord. I may think, well, I'm a human being, I'm better than the end. My family is more important than the end. So what is it talking about? But if you think about it philosophically, why am I more important than the ant? Just because I have a bigger brain and I can understand more things? The ant is also completely devoted to its activities of carrying stuff to and from the ant hill. And it's completely fixed on its goal in life is to get this grain to the queen ant or whatever. So they have goals in life. Animals have goals in life. Basically, their goals in life are to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. So when a human being also do these things, it's certainly a goal in life, but it's not the ultimate goal in life. Why is it not the ultimate goal in life? Because everything's going to end in birth, death, and old age and disease. Doesn't matter how good we are, how noble we are, how good a family we have, how nice our kids are, they're all going to leave us. Even we love them very dearly, they're going to leave us or we're going to leave them. So that's why it is not ultimate. It cannot be considered ultimate, because That which is ultimate is that which goes on. And all these endeavors for the body, they don't go on for very long time. We may say, well, I live for a long time. I live 100. All living entities, they have the experience of living 100 years, Srila Prabhupada explains. Even an ant who lives maybe for 1 or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it has the feeling that it is living a long time. We have the feeling that 100 years is a very long time, and it is real. But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that only that which is lasting and eternal is real. That which does not last is not real. How is it not real, you may ask? I smash myself on the head with a hammer and I feel the pain. How is that not real? So Krishna doesn't say that real does not take place. Nothing, obviously, doesn't take place. Something always takes place. And even illusion takes place. Maya is here, so she's real in the sense that she's here, she's taking place, and she's putting us into illusion. But what does that illusion mean? That means that it ends, that it has a beginning and an end, just like a dream. Like, when we dream something, we may think it is very real. I dream of something very nice, so I get scared, I have a nightmare, and I go through all the same register of feelings and emotions in a dream as I do in real life. But then, when do I know it is a dream? When I wake up. Oh, it was just a dream. Then I know it was an illusion. It was a dream. But life is the same thing. We may think, oh, it's a very long time, but at death, that is when we wake up and we understand, oh, was that all it was? So short. We may think it's a long time, but in eternality, even the longest amount of time, millions and billions and trillions of years, they're just like that. Practically, that it didn't even take place. Like in Krishna's eternal pastimes, what we do here in this world is just completely insignificant. Nation, society, friends, family, and so on. When we compare that to our eternal existence of the soul, it is so phantasmagorial. And that's why it's an illusion. Because it doesn't last. So only service to Krishna lasts. That's why we as devotees, we have to practice that. What are we actually practicing? We are practicing eternality. That's what it means. Because basically we are doing the same things for Krishna. Of course, not with the same intensity. Just as we love our wife, our children, our society, with that same intense love, we can love Krishna. That is the goal. That is actually the goal of life, is to love Krishna like that. To love him as the dearest child, or as the dearest, most sweet lover, or the most loyal friend. But somehow we have to transfer these feelings that we have to bodily related relationships. We have to transfer that to Krishna. Now, most of us, at least I'm not, in that situation, so that's why we have to practice. We are practicing. We're practicing on our family, on our children. We're practicing on the whole material world, how to engage it in Krishna's service. It's not that all these things, they should not be done. All these material activities. Of course, we have rules and regulations and things we do not do. But basically, we have to work in the material world to survive. So the trick is to somehow connect that work to eternality, to connect it to Krishna. Because if we don't, what we did in this life, what we did for this body, what we did for our country, is completely śrama eva hi kevalam. useless endeavor. It is actually no more significant or valuable than what the ant is doing on the lawn. This we have to understand. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says that nobody can become a serious devotee of Lord Krishna until he has realized the miseries of the material, that material life always ends in misery. There's just no exception. Material life always ends in misery because all our loved ones, ourselves, everything goes away and then we lament. It's just unavoidable. Therefore it is said, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that one who realizes this Brahman, that means that the spiritual substance that underlies everything, he no more laments or hankers for anything. That is the fortunate position of a devotee. Even his body is maybe suffering. You know, my wife just left me. My children are on drugs. I don't have money for the school. My whole life is just a mess. I don't know what to do. But if you're a devotee of Krishna, you can still be basically happy in the heart. Even all these miseries come to the body and the mind. Because Krishna consciousness is not based on any material circumstance. It is not based on how good the body is, how talented it is, what I can do, how much money I have, whatever. Devotional service is not based on that. Devotional service is just based on one thing, and that is the desire to become Krishna's friend, to become Krishna's devotee, to become Krishna's lover. That is all we need. Doesn't matter what circumstance we're in, we can always desire to serve Krishna. And that is what we have to work on as practicing devotees, to gradually increase more and more this desire to serve Krishna. I know from my own example, I don't have very great desire to serve Krishna. I'm basically the whole day and night engaged in my body and bodily comfort. I need a nice mattress. I have to go all the way to Calcutta to get the nice foam mattress. I can sleep nicely. I have to dress it nicely. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the devotee doesn't take any rich food. He's just satisfied with whatever is being served. My body craves rich foods. I love paneer, ghee, butter, cream. I just eat that. So I have to admit, my desire to serve Krishna is not very great. But due to the grace of all the devotees, I'm allowed to stay in their association. And I can definitely feel, it's a personal experience, how that desire is just growing more and more. Gradually, ever so gradually, it's becoming more and more fixed and more strong. Therefore, there's no cause for hopelessness. One may say, I've been here for 20, 30 years and I'm still a nonsense, I'm still in Maya, I still have material desires. The process doesn't work and they go away. But it's not true. If we just stay on the path of pure devotional service, then there's never any cause to lose hope. Because Krishna is always there and he will always help his devotee. We may say, oh, he broke his arm, how is Krishna helping him? But Krishna's help is not bodily help. It means spiritual help. And what does spiritual help mean? Spiritual help means to realize I'm not this body. It doesn't matter whether I have an arm or a leg missing, or whether I broke my arm, or whether I have a toothache, or whether I can't earn enough money. That's all related to the body, but that has nothing to do with spiritual life. Now in the beginning stages we try to connect all these things, our material activities, with spiritual life. But gradually, ever so gradually, it's like two pillars. or two columns. One column is what we do for Krishna, and one column is what we do for the body and the family and everything related to the body. And in the beginning, the body column is this tall and Krishna column is that tall. But gradually we have to just increase the Krishna column by doing more and more for Krishna. How can we do that? Maybe we don't even have any practical things to do, but we can engage our minds in thinking of Krishna. That's what we do when we chant Hare Krishna. We remember and we try to love Krishna and we pray to Him for deliverance. So, Prabhupada says, there's one verse in the Bhagavatam, I forget where, but it says that, or Prabhupada explains in the purport, that to the degree we do not love Krishna, we will love Maya. He uses the word percentage. So devotional service is not either or. Either I'm a pure devotee or I'm just a nobody and I want to be Maya. It's not an either or situation. It is a balance. And as devotees, we train and practice every day, like Krishna says, Arjuna asks, how can I control this mind? It's so turbulent and obstinate. It's harder to control than the wind. And Krishna says, by practice, by suitable practice and by detachment, we can control the mind. So, just like you want to be good in anything, you have to practice. Practice makes perfect, they say. Like if you want to become a professional tennis player, it doesn't come easy. You have to practice 6 hours every day just hitting a ball and practicing your serve. You have to practice again and again. The same way we have to practice Krishna consciousness. We practice by hearing Ramanam Kirtanam Vishnu. By hearing and by explaining. That's how we practice. We hear the same things again and again and again. Prabhupada writes on every page, you're not this body, you're Krishna's servant, you have to serve Krishna. You may say, I've heard this 1,000 times, why do you keep telling me this? Because we don't do it. We practice. We practice hearing. Practice of hearing means we hear the same things again and again and again. And gradually, gradually we will realize it. It will become vijnana. In the beginning it is just jnana. We know it theoretically. Yes, it's true. I have to be a devotee. If I don't, I will suffer. But as it becomes vijnana, we actually realize we're not this body and we understand how hopeless it is to just be engaged in maintaining a lump of flesh. I might as well, buy a steak and take care of that and decorate it nicely with decorate it nicely with clothes and ornaments and stuff. That's what this body is. It's just a lump of flesh. What's the use of it if it's not engaged in Krishna's service? Then when it is engaged in Krishna's service, that's another thing. Then even this lump of flesh becomes spiritualized. Then this body becomes spiritualized and we return to our original spiritual nature. And that is the goal, this is the ultimate goal of life. And even Indra wants that. See, Indra, he has the best of everything. We should understand also, in the heavenly planets, in most religions they want to go to the heavenly planets because life is so nice there. But what we should understand as devotees, it's basically the same sex, drugs and rock and roll that goes on in the heavenly planets as it is here. It's just in a more refined state. Instead of sex with a prostitute, there's the apsaras, and instead of Led Zeppelin, there's the Gandharvas, and instead of drugs, powders and pot and whatever, and alcohol, there's Somaras. But it's the same thing. And it just goes on for a very, very long time. You enjoy these things for a very long time. And then you think, oh wow, it's so heavenly. And it is heavenly. But it is no more than sense gratification. That's what goes on in the heavenly planets, sense gratification. And that's why for a real devotee of Krishna, heaven or hell doesn't make any difference. Because it's all the body. In the heavenly planets you have a more refined, subtle, finer body, but it is still a material body. So the ultimate goal is to get rid of this material body and to regain our lost spiritual body. It is hidden in there in the soul. And by devotional service it will be redeveloped and reawakened. And then, that is just like waking up from a dream. When we come to the realization that actually it's true, Krishna is the only goal, then this whole life will be like a dream we have. Why is something a dream? Why do we say this is a dream? Because it lasts very short, few minutes, and then it's gone, and then we wake up to so-called reality. But life is also just a few seconds. It feels like a long time, 80, 100 years. It feels so long, but in eternality it is also just a dream. It is also just a few seconds. And at death, that's when we wake up. And as devotees we are very fortunate because then we wake up to reality. For a non-devotee, death is a horrible experience. Because he will understand, oh, the whole life was just meaningless and now I'm going to a place I don't know. But for a devotee, it's just awakening the whole time. From the scriptures we can extrapolate more or less what happens at death. If you're very, very, very sinful, the Yamadutas come and take you away. That means you don't, at death, you don't just blank out. You are awake the whole time, and you see the Yamadutas and they come and they take you. And that is horrible. And also if you're very, very good, you will go to the heavenly planets. But if you're just a normal person, not too good, not too bad, you'll just blank out at death, and then 7 months later you'll wake up in a womb, completely crammed up in the womb. And it is explained in the Bhagavatam that at that point the soul in the womb, the fetus understands what it did to land in that womb. It can be any womb, animal womb, human womb, insect womb, whatever. But at that point, the soul understands, what did I do to land here, now I have to take another birth. And that's not a nice experience. So birth, death, old age and disease, said Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. It is listed in the centers of knowledge to know that these are actually not nice things. Birth, death, old age and disease. You may say, what's wrong with birth? I'm an old man, I have my memories. But it's just a crock of, you know, nobody can live on their memories. If you think of this body and as it gets useless and less able to provide you with the pleasure, of course it's suffering. So material life is basically suffering. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, apart from always remembering Krishna and never forget him, those are the most important rules of all rules and regulations, to always remember Krishna and to never forget him. But he says there's always another thing that we should never, never forget. And that is that material life ends in misery. That is the end destination of material life. And the only way out of that is devotional service. Because by even on the beginning platform, a devotee is filled with bliss and satisfaction. It's a fact. Nobody can be as happy as a devotee who is engaged in Krishna's service to please Krishna. And that's how kind Krishna is. He's so kind to his devotees. Even though they are suffering and have all kinds of difficulties, they're still happy as his devotees. Doesn't matter what happened to your body, you can still be happy as Krishna's devotee. And that is Krishna's gift to to us. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Prabhu? Can you give the mic?
Hari Bol.
So, since the nature of a dream is that it's unreal, you know, the Shastra says that when we go to sleep at night, we go into a dream, but also during the daytime, that's like a daydream. So, it has a beginning, it has an end. Srila Prabhupada says that we believe it is real because it's a little bit longer than the dream at night. And so, my question is, if this is a daydream that we're having right now, does that mean that our hearing and our chanting, our devotional service is also unreal?
No, because everything in connection with Krishna, that is the eternal reality. And everything which is not connected with Krishna, that is a dream. It's just like when the soul falls down from the spiritual world, in reality it's Krishna's servant, and in reality Krishna is the only enjoyer. But Krishna has to put him in a dream that he is the enjoyer, he is the Lord and Master, and he can do stuff. So we are being kept in this dream by Krishna. So by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we are actually asking Krishna to please deliver us from this dream and engage us in His service, because that is real life. So whatever you do for Krishna, whatever is in connection with Krishna, that is eternal. What you do for Krishna in this life will go on in next life, and as you get liberated, it will just go on and on, it will never end. So that is real. That is not unreal. But everything else which is not connected with Krishna is completely unreal. And unreal doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means it is like a dream. But what you do for Krishna, that is real. What you engage in Krishna's service, that is real. Your family, your kids, your nation, everything you can actually engage in Krishna's service, and then it becomes real. Otherwise, it remains unreal. That is what is so far out about the Hare Krishna spirit. We are actually taking ourselves and people back to reality. They made this movie Back to the Future. We should make a movie called Back to Reality.
So we're using this dream to wake up in reality.
Yes.
We're using non-reality to become into reality.
Yes, some spiritualists, they want to use our reality to become the supreme. But our process, because that is also basically an illusion that the soul is the supreme. It may be a spiritual, more high-class illusion. Prabhupada actually says that to think that you're a god is better than just being a base materialist. But it is still an illusion, because the reality is that Krishna is the only enjoyer, and we are all meant for His enjoyment. That doesn't mean that we don't enjoy. We enjoy by being enjoyed by Krishna. But we are not the active enjoyers and lords. But that is what we want to be, because as souls, we are just tiny little fractions of Krishna's consciousness. The soul is an atomic spark of Krishna's consciousness. So we have the same tendencies as Krishna. We have the same feelings and will. We want to do basically the same things as Krishna. We want to know, we want to be blissful, we want to lord it over. We want to enjoy, because that is Krishna's position. And we're just tiny sparks of that. So we have that tendency. But we have to understand we are meant to be enjoyed, not to enjoy. We're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. Just like the food. Food is meant to be enjoyed by me. It's not meant to be the enjoyer. But if food was conscious, you might say it would be enjoyed by being eaten, because that's the purpose of it. The purpose of food is to be eaten. So if food was conscious, it would be happy that it was being used for what it was meant for. Similarly, the soul, when we actually realize that we're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna, and we act in that capacity, we become completely happy.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class. Just this one additional point on what he's asking. Prabhupada said, when he gave his example, he said, when we are asleep and we are dreaming, but someone in external reality, he may be calling us, trying to wake us up. So he said that from inside the dream, we hear this sound which is coming from outside the dream. And that wakes us up and that actually cancels the dream, and that brings us to reality. So the same way, the Hare Krishna mantra, when it's coming from a bona fide source through a bona fide disciplined mind, it wakes us up into reality, even though we're hearing it inside the dream.
It's a very good point. Thank you very much. That's why we go to people and we shout, Hare Krishna! Yeah, we have Harinam. Here in Mayapur, it's nice to be a devotee because it's natural and everybody likes devotees. But in the West, sometimes, or most of the times, devotees are just these weird guys who walk on the street and jump up and down, play drums and sing this mantra. They're just considered some kind of weird minority. But that's the ungrateful task that we have. We go out and we shout Krishna's name because that is the only way we can wake up. It is said, Iti sudashi kamnana, kali kalmasya nasana, nata paratayopaya, sarva vete shudrishache. And it says the Hare Krishna mantra. This mantra of 16 words, 32 syllables, is the only way by which we can break Kali Yuga's influence. After searching through all the Vedas, we will find no more sublime method of religion than chanting Hare Krishna. So, like Vidvan Gauranga says, that is the sound that wakes up the soul from this material dream. And it's just so wonderful. Imagine that. Krishna. Krishna. And gradually we wake up.
Actually said that we know everything about God. We know His name, His address, His telephone number.
Yes.
So then one devotee asked him, what's His telephone number? Then he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare.
Jai.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. My understanding is that Indra is the name of the position, Shiva, etc. is the name of the position. So my question is, in the past, has Indra, Shiva left their position and taken birth to honor to go back to the spiritual world?
You mean from being Indra, is it possible to go back to the spiritual world?
Yes, in the past, have they left their position and then given?
It is definitely possible. It's possible, but it's not very likely, because you have a tendency when you are engaged in this type of heavenly pleasure, which means intense sense gratification, then it is hard to think of Krishna and become pure devotee. That's why devotees, they don't want to go to heaven, because it's a deviation from devotional service. They are only doing these things to maintain the whole universe, and the whole universe is only maintained for the souls to be away from Krishna. So it is definitely possible, but there's, as far as I understand, there's no preaching going on in the heavenly planets. Okay, Narada Muni, he actually goes there and preaches. He goes everywhere and preaches to everyone, to demigods, devotees, whoever. But there's not much, it's not a mission like the Hare Krishna mission in the heavenly planets, because they're too busy with enjoying. So where it is impossible, it is not likely. Not from Swarga, from the higher levels, Jhana, Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka, it is said that at the end of the universe, they go back to Krishna, at the end of Brahma's life.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have to stop because I think we have to go to Darshan. We can just speak after. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.